Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Eric Horn. We are in the Oklahoman studios today, the podcast studios. Maddie Lee's here, Barry Trammell's here, and Todd Frazier's in the background, but he's not on the mic. He's just waving.
Thank goodness he's producing, though, because the last time we were in here...
Not good. What game was that after? That was a mess.
I don't remember, but
it
was so late.
Because I forgot the podcast came home. It was bad. It was bad.
Oh, all right. Yeah, moving on. We don't need to rehash that.
That was a mess. We got it done, though, because we're committed to the cause.
But I sounded very, very quiet.
This podcast is brought to you by Charleston's of Bricktown. Even though the Thunder season is over, that doesn't mean Charleston's is over. Charleston's is never over. They don't die, they multiply. Go to Charleston's, get great food, enjoy a game, enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Maybe you'll see a Thunder player at Charleston's because they've got free time now.
Maybe.
Possibly. They're probably in L.A.
Probably most of them are in L.A.
They're probably in L.A.
Some of them are in Texas.
Some of them said they're sticking around. Barry's, that's probably one of them there, and that's Amadou Diallo calling Barry. Not likely. No, but, you know, a lot of the guys are going to be sticking around for the summer, getting ready for summer league. You would hope guys like Amadou Diallo, Terrence Ferguson will be available to play in summer league. We could talk about that, you know, in another podcast, but we came here today to talk about the Sam Presti end of season press conference. It'll be the last piece of, you know, this season information that we're going to probably talk about on the podcast until we move on into, you know, the next phase, which will probably be the draft and summer league and, you know, how this team needs to improve going into next season. Big thing from the Presti press conference was Billy's coming back. How do we feel about Billy coming back? I think I know how a lot of Thunder fans feel about Billy coming back. I don't think it's right. But
not that surprised.
I'm not surprised.
That's how I feel.
I'm not surprised.
Barry wrote a whole column before they announced it that they were probably going to keep him. So he's certainly not surprised.
Yeah, I mean, there was not any reason to think he was going to go away. That's the thing. And here's the deal. Even if you don't, if you didn't like the way the season ended, it wasn't Billy's fault. I mean, the problems with this team are not because they're not listening to Billy Donovan. They don't listen to any coach, really. I mean, so why would you change? Why would you pay $6 million to get the same thing? That's what I'm asking.
And the comparison that a lot of Thunder fans like to make is, well, they need a coach like Pop or something like that.
Just go get Pop.
You know what? Every team in the league needs a coach like Greg Popovich. And guess what? He just agreed to an extension with the Spurs. So any fantasy land thing that you had of Greg Popovich coming to Oklahoma City, which would never happen anyway, because he probably doesn't want to coach Russell Westbrook. Look, there's only one Pop. There's only...
Well, that's a literal statement, by the way.
No, there's only
one drill sergeant in the NBA. No. Not even the Budenholzer.
All the guys on the
Brett
Pop
Brown
tree,
or all those guys.
All the guys on the Pop tree. None of those guys are Pop. They don't coach like him.
No.
And Dennis Schroeder alluded to, you know, Mike Budenholzer being a guy that has, you know, more structure, more of a strong opinion about his coaching than a Billy Donovan. That still doesn't mean he's Pop. Brett Brown certainly isn't that guy, and Brett Brown's a good coach. So is Mike Budenholzer. And I think Billy Donovan's a good coach. I'm just not quite sure that Billy Donovan is the reason. No, look, I am sure. I'm sure Billy Donovan is not the reason that Russell Westbrook can't hit a 15-foot jump shot. That's all I'm saying.
Russell Westbrook is the reason that Russell Westbrook can't hit a 15-foot jump shot.
Or a free throw.
Except for late in games.
Except for late in games and in the playoffs.
So, no, not the least bit surprised that Billy's coming back.
Now, he doesn't have an extension, but...
He does not have an extension, which is interesting.
Yes.
We should ask Sam that. We should ask him, do you plan on...
I think the picking up his option was essentially his extension. Because if you think about it, he was a lame duck coach going into this season because he had an option.
Right.
I think that was essentially his extension.
That made him not a lame duck coach for two-thirds of the year, December through May. Now he's a lame duck coach again.
Yes, he is an official lame duck coach. There is no option. There is no nothing. He is going into this next season in the final year of his deal. Which would be an interesting question to ask Sam Presti. As I recall, I believe Scott Brooks went into the final year of his deal on his first deal as a lame duck coach as well. And that was coming off of a finals appearance.
Yes, I think that's right.
A little better than a first-round exit.
Also had that Durant fella, who was playing some ball.
He's good.
People get mixed up on this Kevin Durant situation. There's never been anybody on the face of the earth that said, hey, he's not that good. He's really good.
He's really good.
He's unbelievable. He's an all-time great. That's never been the issue. No one's ever said otherwise.
What's been the issue? The team he went to?
Just the weakness of the decision for going to Golden State, yes. And some of the weak stunts he's pulled since he's gotten to Oakland, most of them via social media.
Yeah, I honestly didn't have – granted, people are probably going to jump on me from being from Seattle, so that's my background, but I didn't have a problem with his decision. I more had a problem with how he acted. The burner accounts is really where it got out of control.
I think that's where most people align now. I don't think that's pitchfork worthy for you to get
great
attacked or anything.
Cool.
But most people, I think, would say that like they didn't have a problem with his decision, which is not true. A lot of people had a problem with his decision, but you know, it exacerbated with the burners, and you know, on the way out of the door, his people saying stuff about Westbrook and
Billy,
and just mess.
Sam, everybody. I didn't have a problem. I don't have a major problem with Kevin Durant leaving. I didn't like where he went. I thought that was weak sister stuff. And then how he's acted. And how he's acted since then. That's the.
I've heard weak sauce, never weak sister.
Weak sister. Oh man. Okay, we got off track. We were trying to talk about Presti.
To tie it in, I think the Thunder, at the time that Kevin Durant left, made his decision to stay the course and not firing Billy Donovan as part of that.
Yeah. Well, look, Billy was here, you know, Kevin's last year, and I don't think that the money is of any consequence. I think if you feel like you have the right guy, you don't care about $6 million, and that's easy for us to say. It's not our money, but if you feel like Billy Donovan is the guy, if you feel like he's not the guy, you don't worry about how much money it's going to cost to get rid of him. We're paying him $6 million to go home. If he's not the right guy, you cut bait. So the Thunder clearly feels like he's the guy.
Or if you feel like there is a better guy.
Yes.
It might not even be like, wow, we're all sold on Billy. It's like, what's the alternative?
Yes, I think that's important too. And look, that's not me saying that I know anything about the Thunder and what they're doing in terms of who they're interested in, but they might have put out feelers around the league, or you know, some light feelers in terms of guys' interest, gauging who's out there, who's interested, and they might have found that they didn't like what they were hearing. I don't think that's the case, because that probably would have gotten out in some way. It probably would have been reports that, you know, the Thunder's high on this person or that person. So they like Billy. Look, they like what he's done. And frankly, I don't think that Billy's a terrible coach. I don't think that he's the greatest coach in the world, but I just don't think
that's most
anything,
coaches in this league.
Yeah, there just aren't really that many difference makers in the league on a night to night basis. I don't think Terry Stotts like out coached Billy or anything like that. I think Damian Lillard hit a bunch of really good shots in their face, and Russell Westbrook didn't hit shots.
Yeah, Damian Lillard made a bunch of 30-footers. That's not exactly coaching. That's a lot of years of working on your shot to an extreme level. So, but that doesn't mean the fans won't be up in arms. The fans are not happy with this. The fans demand blood.
Blood.
There will be blood.
There will be blood. There will be. That's a great movie. I love that movie so much.
So, you know, you can understand that. But if the fans are really upset, they can pay via their pocketbook. Don't go to the games. Don't buy the tickets. It's an easy solution. Not one. There's never been a franchise ever that didn't pay attention to that.
Anyway, What did y'all take? What was the big takeaway from the Sam Presti press conference from each of you all? I can start if you want me to.
Start it up.
Yeah.
I thought that tad arrogant for my liking.
A tad arrogant. How so?
I don't like the part he said about we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Russell Westbrook. I thought that some of the defense of Russell Westbrook was arrogant.
There was, I don't know if it's arrogant, but there was a lot of it. Whatever it was, there was a lot of it. A lot of defense of Westbrook.
And I get the from the standpoint that basically you've gone 11 years with kind of allowing some of the behavior that Russell Westbrook does.
Just 2 months, Eric. We heard it yesterday. He's only been doing this for 2 months. Isn't that what Sam said? Isn't that what he said?
Yeah.
Isn't that what he said?
That is what he said. But it's,
he doesn't even have that part. It's actually been 3 months if he's going to start from then. But you're right. It's been 8 years, 9 years.
It was very hypocritical from this standpoint that, Sam pointed that out as if this had only been happening for 2 months or whatever. But at the same time, it hasn't. This is a thing that's been going on for quite some time. And I didn't write about the particulars of the Russell Westbrook and the media interactions and how Sam Presti felt about that. And he said that, look, they're not happy with some of the way he goes about things, but he also scapegoated him. And he basically said, well, Russell's grown or there's been growth there. And it's like, well, you know what? A guy's been in the league 11 years. You'd expect him to have a little bit more growth than, you'd expect more growth than it having to come to the point to where someone is exposed on the national stage for there to be growth.
I disagree that there's growth there. I think there are much better examples that you could point to of Russell Westbrook's growth since joining the league.
Right.
Like that is not
that's right.
the
that's
right
exactly
example.
Right.
Cause I think he's grown as a player.
Well, yeah.
I think he's definitely grown as a player. Even from the point to where I first started covering him in 2015-16, I think he's grown as a player. He hasn't grown in terms of his media relations.
No.
Or just the way he like generally treats people.
That's true.
And not that I'm sitting there asking him to be my best friend, because I know that's just never going to happen. But to have some sort of discourse and be able to just talk about.
But who's the athletic reporter that sent out the tweet? Molly something or?
I forgot her.
I forgot her name. But anyway,
I pulled it up yesterday in the press conference.
We're talking about Russell had a bad 2 months. She had a great tweet talking about she was working for ESPN or somebody and was commissioned to come and do a story on Russell's Jordan brand contract. Nothing but a fluff piece. Nothing but a PR deal to increase sales of Westbrook's merchandise with the Jordan brand. And she wrote about the insufferable way that she was treated by Westbrook. Wouldn't look at her, flipped through a magazine while she was trying to interview him. She basically said, the guy looks at media as subhuman, and I'm through with him. I'll never deal with him again. And that's just what he's been doing for years and years and years, treating people with a lack of respect. It's all it is. It's just plain and simple what it is.
Someone told the story at a post-Presti about the first time that they asked a different player a question at the podium during playoffs and were just like completely unnerved by getting eye contact.
Oh, from Russell?
No, but from someone else. But it's just like, it just goes to show. You get used to not.
Yeah, when Damian Lillard, when you ask Damian Lillard a question and he looks at you and you think, oh, wait, what's going on? This is an alternative universe.
There are going to be a lot of people that listen to the podcast who think we're just crying and we're ungrateful media and all that stuff. Like I generally enjoy what I do. I just don't enjoy dealing with Russell Westbrook. And I can't even
make that claim because, like I told you guys, I can't be mad at Russell Westbrook. He made me famous. So how can I be mad at the guy? However,
Kanye West has a song about that.
The disrespect that he's shown everybody for years and years and years is a systematic problem and a bad, bad look for the Thunder organization. So if they want to pretend like it's a 2 month thing, a 3 month thing, fine, but it's not.
This is what Presti said about when he was asked about Russell's dealings with the media and how that reflects in the organization. And actually, Brady Trantham of the franchise asked this question. It was a very good question. I was going to ask it basically the exact same way he asked it, because this is important. He prefaced the question with, "We know Russell's never been in trouble off the floor." That's all important stuff that Sam would have immediately thrown in our face about.
He still went to it, too.
No, and he still went to it. But look, this guy's never been in trouble off the court. That is important. That is great. I think from that standpoint, that's a guy that you want as the head of your franchise. But
absolutely.
Does the media stuff, some of his dealings with individual matchups, the way he gets into it with Damian Lillard, the arrogance, the boasting, whatever, does that reflect well on the organization? And then Sam gets to the point to where he says, like, well, we prefer he handled a few things differently, sure. We've talked about that, which I don't necessarily think is true that they've talked to Russell about that. I also think it would probably be worthy and noteworthy to establish the fact that he made some adjustments to that particular approach only after he was raked over the coals nationally for a period of days. And, you know,
he did adjust.
And I think that's a sign of tremendous leadership and a sign that he is understanding that when he speaks, he is the reflection of so many different people. And I know how much he cares about the team because I've seen it for 10 and a half years.
I think it's true that he does care about the team. But like I said, that's not the example.
Yeah, and look, we'll see what happens when we come back next year and, you know, the same thing happens. When, you know, there's not a bunch of national attention on him and, you know, in game 56 of the season, he's treating everybody like crap. Yeah. So.
Honestly, though, it's like, I mean, he is smart. He is smart about media, and that's kind of become part of his brand. And his diehard fans love it. There's a reason why there are so many clips of him like shutting down reporters on YouTube. You can go and watch those for hours. And other guys in the league, too. But he shows up in a lot of those mixes.
Yep.
Yeah, and here's the thing about that. Yeah, it's cool, and there's all kinds of fans that think that's great. And there's, you know, all kinds of followers that endorse that. There's also all kinds of people that have to live with it. And some of them are in this market. And all of Russell's fans throughout the nation are not funding the Thunder. Most of the Thunder's flowchart comes from Oklahoma. And there's a lot of people that don't like it when he acts that way. And it's starting to affect some of them. And that's where Russell Westbrook and Sam Presti have to be cognizant of what's going on. If I'd have waged a public war with Russell Westbrook 3 years ago, 2 years ago, my name would have been Mud. My name is not Mud today. A whole lot of people say, you know what? I don't know why he has to treat you that way. And Russell has reached a point in his career where he might need to worry a little bit more about public perception and public relations in his own market.
And that's tied to – and whether it's fair or not, that's tied to just winning games. Look, if the Thunder beats the Trailblazers in a first-round series, we're not talking about any of this stuff. The reason that people are coming down as hard on Russell Westbrook as they are is because he can't hit jumpers, and they're not winning games. There's only so far you can get with, you know, being the way that Westbrook's been and not win games. So that's really the crux of it. Like, if he comes back next year and he shoots 48% from the field and he improves as a three-point shooter, or he passes up those shots and gets guys better shots and
they get to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and becomes a more efficient player, then people are going to excuse his behavior. And people in the national media aren't going to come down on him as hard because he's going to be a better player and they're going to win more games. That might not be the way it's supposed to be, but that's kind of how it works. And and back to the arrogance part, I thought about the Presti press conference yesterday, he pulled that card. He said, y'all weren't asking these questions when we were winning. Well, that's how it works, Sam. Like, if we do ask the questions like that when you're winning, you're going to say we're not being fair. Or that
why are we focused
on the negative when you got all this positive?
But we also have been asking him questions, particularly in private, for years and years and years about Russell Westbrook's behavior. You can attest to that, Eric. We've talked to Presti at length about that. Not the first time we've talked to Sam Presti about Westbrook.
Or the PR people or anybody.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we have these discussions literally
all the time.
Once or twice a week.
Even when they're riding high.
Yeah.
Even when they're riding high.
Charleston's in Bricktown is your pregame destination to cheer on OKC's favorite sports team. Stop by before the Thunder game for a drink and a bite, or watch the whole game at our state-of-the-art bar with big screen TVs all around. Charleston's in Bricktown offers free parking with validation in any lower Bricktown parking lot. Visit charlestons.com for more information.
What about you, Kit? Kimmy Schmidt, what was your big takeaway from Presti?
Well, we went deep on that, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I can't believe that was all just your answer. I obviously don't have this was my first Presti end of season availability, so I don't have the same perspective as you guys. But I think for me, overall, it seemed very a lot of it was defending an inclination to not be reactionary over and over again, whether it came to keeping Billy, whether it came to Westbrook shooting, just assuming, like, you know, it's going to get better. And if it doesn't, you know, we've got pieces around him. A lot of it was centered around, we're on this course and it would be a mistake to overreact, even though we haven't made it past the first round in 3 years.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting about Presti. That's our familiar refrain. What you just described, he says all the time. But he often, it's not like he doesn't do stuff. He says, we're going to be very cautious. And then he generally does something major.
And then he goes and gets Paul George.
Or trades Serge Ibaka, or trades for Carmelo Anthony, or trades Carmelo Anthony, or fires his coach. It's been forever since the Thunder had a sort of a status quo summer. So it's not like they don't do stuff. They just don't like to admit that they're going to do something, is what it amounts to. They want everybody to say, steady as she goes, careful can be. And then they make big news.
Yeah, I think it would be naive to just think that nothing's going to happen. They're going to make moves. They're going to move players. I don't know if it's going to be – I don't know who it's going to be, but they always say this. They explore every option. They turn over every rock. They're going to look at trades for potential guys. Everybody's going to call about Anthony Davis this summer, every team in the league. I would imagine the Thunder would be one of those teams. Please don't take me and put me on a blog as saying that the Thunder's going to go get Anthony Davis. People that aggregate things.
What are they going to offer New Orleans when they call?
How you make the money work, Steven Adams? I know your heart sinks, Barry, at the thought of it.
I mean, I'm not saying you don't trade Steven Adams for Anthony Davis, but I am saying, what are you going to offer? You're going to offer Stone Cold and what else?
Steven Adams, Jeremy Grant, first round pick. Call it a day. And don't compare it to what's been offered previously from other teams. It's a matter of what the Pelicans feel is the best deal for them. We saw this with Indiana. Everybody was poo-pooing the Indiana deal. Indiana didn't get enough. But it's not a matter of what you think relative to, or compared to what another team has offered. It's what that team wants at that time and what they feel is best for them. And I'm not saying that that's good enough to get Anthony Davis. I'm just saying – you can just throw in some hypothetical and the Pelicans might wake up one day and be like, oh, yeah, that works for us. That's the deal we want. Also, screw the Lakers.
Jeremy Grant over Terrence Ferguson?
You got to keep Ferg. Cheap it's a labor.
Really good contract.
Look, you got to keep Jeremy Grant. That's cheap labor too. Yeah. But you got to give up something to get. Why are we talking about Anthony Davis trades?
That's your fault.
You brought it up. It wasn't us. But let me tie in with my big takeaway from Sam Presti. Sort of ties in with what you just talked about. For one of the few times ever, Sam sort of threw somebody under the bus. And that was Steven Adams. When he said Steven didn't play as well, though, you know, he was big on that 70-30 split. We played really well for 70% of the season, not so well for the 30%. And he said the same thing about Steven Adams. He said Steven played really well for about 70% of the season, and for 30%, he wasn't as good. And generally, Sam doesn't talk about a player that way in the negative. So I found that interesting that, you know, I mean, my ears perked up since it's my favorite player, of course, but and I wanted to say you know, what would you say about all the guys who didn't run back on defense? Steven runs back on defense, and a lot of this team doesn't. So, but anyway, I thought that was interesting. I don't know what it means. Maybe nothing.
He also kind of alluded to potentially letting Steven shoot.
Yeah, he did mention that. Sort of along the same vein which Steven was talking about the other day. When, well, if they tell me shoot, I'll shoot.
Which
told me that they've told him not to shoot.
Yeah.
They've definitely told him not to shoot.
They said, set this screen for Russell Westbrook, please. Yeah. Now, look, you could set that screen and pop out to the three-point line. I don't know if it's going to happen. Now, the same way that he kind of sort of threw Steven Adams under the bus, we fell off after the All-Star break essentially because Alex Abrines was out.
Alex Abrines was. They didn't,
get out of here with
they
that.
Didn't blame him, but he was certainly a scapegoat.
Well, here's
that
the deal.
That was scapegoat too.
His absence was a scapegoat. They went back to being like, we still support him and we're not going to talk about what his personal matters were, but it really hurt us to not have him.
Here's why that really doesn't work.
Because he didn't shoot well when he was here? When he was
well,
playing?
That's part of it, but
he wasn't,
how long was he out? He was out for a long time.
The Thunder kept playing well after they lost Alex Abrines.
Their best month was January when Alex played one game.
That's right. It was not a correlation. They didn't fall off when Alex went away. They went off. They fell off 6 weeks after he went away.
They fell off when Paul George stopped being Superman.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Yes, Paul George was masking a lot of problems that they had because he was playing out of his mind. And look, Westbrook was spraying the ball around too. He was playing really well and spraying the ball around. He wasn't shooting well.
But, he started shooting better after Paul stopped.
Right.
But that didn't actually help.
But like, yeah, like we were saying, like they had great stretches of play without Abrines after the Christmas game or whatever when Nader was put into the rotation. That's when they played their best ball of the year. You know, when the year turned. But to say, you know, it was just weird. It was just weird for him to say that really hurt them not to have Alex Abrines. And then just to go on the record and say, like, you know, we don't get Wes Matthews. Like,
he said he brought up Wes Matthews.
Yeah, he brought up Wes Matthews a couple times.
Three times?
Yeah.
At least two.
So,
at least two.
To me, it was really strange.
That was strange.
Because he usually doesn't, unless he's asked about it. Or prompted, like if somebody would have asked him about Wes Matthews, he probably would have talked about that at length. But he never goes out of his way to mention players that they don't get or that they miss out on.
He probably wanted us to seize on Wes Matthews and ask him more. But, you know, we heard enough about
He talked about Matthews twice.
Did he talk about him in his opening statements or was
– Well, I just looked it up, and he did mention Wes Matthews in the opening statement. He said, as I said before, once Wes Matthews went to Indiana, there really wasn't a lot of options out there, and that put some stress on us offensively, and you never want to be in that position.
And he said, that's on me, but then also said, I can't predict the future.
Oh, man. Yeah. It was a lot. It was a lot going on in that yesterday. Yeah. What else did we glean from that? I thought the free throw thing was interesting. He says we talked to a lot of people about that, and one thing is we'll have a plan on that. What was the plan before?
Make him if you want him.
Well, in Sam's defense, you know they've gone through this a little bit with individuals because of Andre Robertson's, particularly his troubles, and. When somebody, or particularly now a team, goes through this kind of struggle, the free throw doctors come out of the woodwork. And some of them actually have some access to the Thunder. You know, a lot of them have no access. That's why they come to us for, you know, try to be conduits. But there's people all over the world that think they can fix bad foul shooting. And that's what he's alluding to, just all kinds of possibilities out there. And they've probably used a few of those free throw doctors.
Yeah, we've been talking about free throws
and nobody's,
for almost the entire year.
And nobody really, I mean, nobody that knows what to do with a basketball needs to be doing this because it's not a physical thing. With Russell Westbrook, it's 100% mental. It's a mental thing. There's not any question about it. He's a phenomenal foul shooter who just quit making his foul shots. He's like Chuck Knobloch or Steve Sachs, the second baseman who couldn't throw the ball to first base.
Someone asked him, too, in his exit interview, like what he changed in the playoffs because he suddenly was shooting them really well. And he said he did change something, but he wouldn't tell us what.
There's a really – I don't know if you guys have ever listened to Malcolm Gladwell's Revisionist History podcast, but there's a podcast devoted like solely to this, and it's about Wilt Chamberlain and about how I think in – Now, and people can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game, he shot free throws underhanded or something along those lines.
I actually just read this chapter of Love and Basketball, and I'm pretty sure that's true.
But he went back to his original free throw shooting motion. And the point of the podcast was guys are embarrassed to try new things. And he actually interviewed Rick Barry.
Rick Barry, one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he interviewed – also a jerk. But
but a good foul shooter.
But a great foul shooter. Look.
Using the granny
Wait,
style.
Wait, so he went back to his to not underhanded for his 100-point game?
No. After that game, Wilt Chamberlain went back to and I don't know if it was over a period of time or immediately, but he went back to shooting foul shots the way he traditionally did, and Wilt Chamberlain's just not he's not a good foul shooter. So he interviewed Rick Barry about how and basically came to the conclusion that it takes a certain personality type to be comfortable enough to do something that's unconventional and have success at it. Rick Barry doesn't give a crap what anybody thinks about him. Rick Barry's been a jerk like basically his entire life, and he just hasn't cared that. But that's a personality that is tied to why he can attempt that shot as much as he does, or
kind of
or
like
do that shot.
In the words of Russell Westbrook, he's been blessed to not give an F.
Yes, exactly. He and Rick Barry would probably get along. Now, but that brings me to my point is a couple years ago, we sat down with Andre Robertson in the offseason, and Brett Dawson and I were talking to him about free throws, and we're like, would you ever shoot them underhanded? And the only thing Robertson said was, nah, I'm not doing that shit, man. Like, it was.
It's a point of pride. Nobody does it. It looks weak.
Yeah.
But let me tell you. Rick Barry didn't miss. He's automatic.
Yeah.
Best ever.
Yeah. And it's not
like Rick Barry couldn't shoot the regular way. He was a phenomenal. Right. He once averaged 35 points a game.
Yeah. And that's not to say that everybody's got to go to underhand free throw shooting, but what we're saying is like.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
It'd be great. What we're saying is there's a mental aspect to shooting free throws that often gets overlooked. People are like, oh, he needs a free throw shooting coach. It's the mental part, man. It's the mental part. It's the same thing at Russell Westbrook's 15-footer. I guess we should take a break because of the time, or we should leave.
We should leave. We promised that we'd be out by 2, and it's 2:02.
Dang it.
Our time is up.
We're 2 minutes over.
It's a good podcast. I enjoyed it.
It was a solid pod.
Solid pod.
We didn't talk about all the stuff I wanted to.
Well, we can talk next week.
We got a whole summer.
We can talk next week.
We're going to do a Thunder Thursday in 2 days. Leave something on the vine.
All right. We'll leave something on the vine.
Leave something in the buffet.
Thanks to Charleston's of Bricktown for sponsoring the podcast all through April. Make sure you get down to Charleston's, y'all. Even though the Thunder's not playing, they still have TVs and food and all that great stuff so you can experience the NBA playoffs. I'm Eric Horn with Barry Trammell and Maddie Lee. Thanks for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast, downloading, sharing on Apple Podcasts. And we will see you whenever we see you, probably sometime next week. But I'm not going to put a date because I'd be making promises and I'm not going to do it.